If you want to start turning to Matthew 11, I'm sorry. Quite often it slips my mind as I start in and start talking and completely forget to tell you to start turning. And then I get to the scripture and you're looking at me because you're not able to read it for yourselves out of your own Bibles. So Matthew 11. But it is good to see everybody this week. Last week we had kind of a little bit of weather that hit us. You know, Friday we had all that ice that came and hit, and Saturday that ice really didn't melt off. And then Saturday night into Sunday we got that nice wet snow that makes for great snowballs, makes for great snowmen. I wanted to knock the snowman over, but Gracie wouldn't let me, so it stood up until either it got knocked over with the trailer or it melted enough to fall over. So, but that snow, and I realized this as I was lifting up the middle section of the snowman, because he was over 6 feet tall. He was taller than me. I was lifting up the middle section. I realized that snow is quite heavy. And if you looked at some of my tree limbs and that, you would say the same thing, because with all that ice that was hanging on the branches and all the snow that was weighing down the branches as well, we had a couple of treetops that snapped off, a couple of tree limbs that snapped over, and thankfully none of them landed on the cow's fence, because I did not want to go through that again. But God showed me some things with the weight of the snow and the ice on those branches. And he reminded me of the scripture. And so often, just like the weight of the branches, it's more than they were really designed to handle with all that ice and snow, and that's why they did that. And just like that, sometimes we carry stuff that's way too heavy for what we're meant to carry. So Matthew 11, starting in verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you read it out of the Amplified Version, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light." You guys know I love to read multiple versions. So the Message translation says it this way: "Are you tired, worn out, burn out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real test. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." See, God never designed us to be weary. He never intended us to become run down or wore out. Sometimes we try to carry loads that we were just never meant to carry. Every care and concern that you carry is a burden. Every worry is a burden. Everything we think we need to hang on to outside of Jesus is a burden. We get concerned about trying to cater to the way the world thinks we should look, what kind of life we should live, what kind of material goods indicate our social status. You might be thinking, well, what burdens am I facing? What burdens have I been picking up that I'm not letting go of? Perhaps it's unforgiveness. So often, we hold offenses for things that have no effect today. There were things long in the past, something small and trivial in the grand scheme of things. We hang on to past hurts and how someone may have acted, but you may not realize that it really only hurts yourself with what you're hanging on to. It can become a real weight when you're trying to focus on what, when you're around someone and all you can think about is how they did fill in the blank to you. What about pride? Usually, people who fall into pride, they have never intended to fall into it. Pride creeps in. It starts out where you were doing something good, something that you had very good intentions for, but then the attitude around it shifts the focus, and you start to thinking that it's anything other than this is not right. Anything other than this is not what I want to deal with. I'll say, if you guys pay attention to the world around us, you can look at Washington or Washington, D.C. You know, so often we fail to realize that at one point both sides had valid points. But at one point both sides actually tried to work things out. But pride really slipped in and created so much division that sometimes the only reason why they say no or don't want to go down a rabbit trail or to go down a certain route is because the other side's for it. Barely any common ground. It's one side versus the other. How about self-reliance? Self-reliance is one that gets us in trouble quite often. It's almost a sister to pride. It says, no thanks, I'll do it myself. It's something that our nation has practically embraced these days. So much of everything, people try to go it alone, try to do their own thing, refuse to reach out. As a nation, we've pretty well done that with allowing God to be taken out of the schools, out of the government, and even out of our own homes at times. See, when we try to carry all that on our own, it makes it hard for us to function. We're constantly trying to pick things up and just keep carrying it and making it work. Now, if you're like me, when it comes time to getting stuff out of the car, getting groceries out of the trunk, you might try to do it all in one trip. Am I right here?
Yeah.
I would say I know I'm that way. And you start picking everything out of the trunk. You got it all balanced pretty good on there. Start getting other things. You throw some stuff under the one arm. Start getting it all in there. Even put something under your chin. Come on. I'm not the only one that's looking like this, right? And you got it all. And you're carrying it. It's not a very long trip from the car into the house. But then things start shifting. They're getting a little bit awkward, a little bit heavy, a little bit not how you plan on it going. And you're thinking, all right, I'm going along. Yeah, but guess what? You've also bruised the apples. You've smashed the bread with the beans. Those cans landed on the bread and just put a big old dent in them. And it just doesn't work out like you should. But that's exactly what Jesus sees. He sees us trying to do things on our own. And he says, hey, give me that bag. Go ahead, hand it over. So you hand one thing over. And he's like, no, okay, give me that one too. So you give him one more. Give him one more. Keep it coming. Just hand it all over to me. I can do this a lot better. And he can. He wants all of it. Because then when we're left with nothing of our own that we're trying to carry, we can take it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, He cares for you. So now that we don't have all this extra stuff, He can finally do what He wants to do. As long as we're holding on to those burdens, Jesus keeps telling us, hey, you're making this a lot harder than you need to. So then after we give all that to Jesus, look at Matthew 11:29, it says, Jesus tells us to take His yoke and He will teach us. And then He continues and He shows us a couple of His character traits here. He takes our heavy burdens, those heavy things, and He replaces it with a lighter yoke. Why? Because He is gentle and lowly at heart. Remember, God is gentle. He loves us. God loves us. He never takes out His anger on us. He never beats us. He may correct us, but with correction, you know it's correction because He speaks to you for what He wants you to hear. He lifts us up, though, and He tells us the truth in love. He's patient with us. God knows. Sometimes you got to have patience with me. I heard a laugh out of my wife. That's good. He makes sure that we're comforted in our time of need. He never forces us, but always speaks to us with a gentle spirit. Jesus also tells us here that He is lowly in heart. Now, I know that's part of you guys' everyday vocabulary, right? Right? You don't just walk up to somebody and go, man, He's lowly at heart. No? That's okay, I had to look this up too. So, lowly at heart means, or let me set this up a little bit. Back in the day, in the time where they were using the Greek language, there was really no Greek word that captured this type of humility. Some of the translations use humility in this, but it goes way beyond just humility. See, back then, to the Greeks, if you were humble, you actually degraded your own self. You actually stooped down and became a lower level because of that. You lost your position where you were. Lowly in heart basically welcomes everyone. Everyone is at the same level when Jesus offers them His yoke. No one's too high, no one's too low. Jesus sees everybody the same way. Everybody comes through Jesus. From the factory worker to the businessman, from the paraplegic to the athlete, from the homeless to the government official, Jesus is lowly at heart. He loves the people who are unlovable. He loves the ones that we think are unlovable. Because everybody is lovable to God. He's willing to receive any who call on His name. And this brings us to the next part of the passage where He says that every one of them will find rest in their souls. This rest doesn't mean their circumstances aren't the same. But down in their souls, there is comfort. Down in their souls, there is a calmness, a peace. He continues in 11:30 where He says, "For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Now, wait a minute here. We were just promised rest, but I've watched Little House on the Prairie enough times to know that whenever I heard the term yoke, Charles was going out to yoke up the oxen, to pull the plow, to plow the field, or to hook them up to a cart or something. That sounds more like work than rest. But yes, even during our time of rest, God calls us to do work. Resting is not always doing nothing. But when we take up Jesus' yoke and take His burden, it's almost effortless. Because what we do through Christ, He will sustain us through it. Think about how we were talking about burdens a little bit ago. Just like those not being our burdens to carry, yokes are the same way. Yokes, if you're not familiar with them, they actually go around the neck of the oxen and they hit right on the shoulders so that they can work effectively, so that they can work correctly. It needs to be the appropriate yoke for that size of an oxen. It needs to be fitted for them. Because if it doesn't fit them correctly, then they're going to be struggling. They're going to be trying to do this where it's extra weight because they're trying to do it not the correct way. But when we allow Jesus to put His yoke on us, it's the correct yoke fitted for us, for the work that He's calling us to do. If I try to use the wrong yoke for something that I'm not called to do, it's going to be work. But when it's done in God's way, in God's timing, in God's Spirit, it's almost effortless. So then when we're doing that, you don't necessarily notice, or because otherwise looking at it, you may look like they are pulling it correctly, but you don't notice all the strain that's on the inside when it's not being done correctly. One of our favorite shows actually is Fortune Fire. So if you're not familiar with Fortune Fire, it's basically a competition where blacksmiths forge metal into blades, whether it be a knife or a sword or something along those lines. And it's a timed competition. They pit four competitors up against each other, and they start working a forge. They take just chunks of steel, weld them together, smash them out into a shape, quench them, make them into actual functional knives or swords or whatever. So a lot of times they all finish, but they aren't all built the same way. And a lot of times there's things that they're not familiar with. They're not necessarily doing it the right way or effectively. And one of the ways they test these weapons is actually in a strength test. And these strength tests are never what anybody in their right mind would do to something that somebody just spent a lot of time making with their own hands. I mean, they take them and they smash them into bone, wood, steel. I mean, they really put them to the test. And sometimes you have catastrophic failures with them. They break. And a lot of times they even analyze them when they break, they kind of look at them and they'll point out what was wrong with them. You can see things about the grain structure inside of it. You can see discoloration at the edge of where one of the cracks was. So although you couldn't see a crack that was going on when it was stressed in a way it shouldn't have been stressed, it ends up not holding up. And that's the way sometimes it is with our burdens. when we take those burdens and try running with them that we were never intended to carry, it doesn't hold up. But God loves to heal. God loves to fix things. So when we turn it all over to God in prayer, it'll help us remove the weights that we were never meant to carry. If you're frustrated, give it to God. He may even prompt you to pray for who or whatever you're frustrated with. So instead of just going to God with what you're frustrated with, He'll actually have you pray for that person, pray for that situation. Those of you here were here Wednesday night, you heard how I even did that. I went with them storming the Capitol and seeing how everything looked and getting frustrated with the people and how much of a mockery it was making of our country and all that. God showed me He wanted us to go running to Him for it. Because in our natural, we get frustrated so quickly. But we should be able to take it straight to God. Quarreling, bickering, and arguing, still take it to God. He'll show us what He wants us to stand up for and what are just small things that we just want to love on people for then. If you've got a dilemma on what route to go for a decision, instead of worrying about it, pray over it and give it to God. If you're broken, let God be the one to bring the healing to you, whether it be physically or emotionally. God doesn't want us to do it on our own. He wants us to realize that He is the answer to it all. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus told us in the very beginning of this passage was, "Come to Me." Sometimes that answer comes in the middle or at the end of the passage, but here He even says it the first thing, "Come to Me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, weary and heavy laden." If you remember nothing else today other than this, remember, we can't solve it on our own. Humbling ourselves and recognizing that we need Him is really key. He isn't looking for people who have the answers. He's looking for people who are willing to realize that they don't have the answers, but that He is the answer to all of our problems. In Hebrews 12, which comes immediately after Hebrews 11, the author of Hebrews talks about all that have gone before Him in the faith. The hall of faith, as many call it. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Again, here we see the analogy of laying aside every weight. The Amplified Version puts it this way: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great a cloud of witnesses, who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that would distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, the first incentive for our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before Him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing His deity, His authority, and the completion of His work. We can shed off these weights as we recognize Him. Even if you recognize how much you needed Jesus years ago, you can still realize how much you may have forgotten and you've picked back up over the years. Sometimes it's our own personal sin we try to pick up and try to carry. Maybe we've asked for forgiveness of it, but we feel guilty about it. God is faithful to forgive us and forget about that sin if we've repented. But if we're still carrying it, it's on us. You might be thinking, it's just too much. I can't avoid it. There's no way I can handle it. Yes, there is. See, God watches over us. He knows what we can handle. And He promises that. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. If you're going through something and you think it's hard, it's okay, because God will bring you through it. You're far more capable than you ever thought. Just remember, when you're going through it, turning this burden over to Jesus will completely lighten your load. And putting on His yoke will make it so much easier. God is into reconciliation. If you sin, He is faithful to forgive us. This is something I learned early in my walk with God, and it really stuck with me. It's the four R's when it comes to sin. First one is to recognize that it's sin. We can't try to downplay it. If it's separating us from God, it is sin. A lot of times we'll even try to justify it, tell ourselves that we have a right to feel that way. Think, it looks so good though. There's no way I was going to avoid doing it. Benjamin Franklin had said, sin isn't bad because it's forbidden. It's forbidden because it's bad. So a lot of times that sin will look appealing. You want to know what's on the other side of the fence. But God always wants to try to protect us if we would only listen to Him. The next R is to repent of the sin. Repent is not just saying, I'm sorry. It's not just asking for forgiveness. It's doing a 180, and it literally means to go the opposite direction of. If it's separating you from God, then focusing on God will keep you from going back to that sin. It's actively trying to change. The next R is to release that sin. So often, the only reason why it stays with us is because we allow it to. Just like the burdens that we talked about, we try to hang on to them. We keep bringing it back up. If we've repented of it, God has forgotten about it. We have got to let go of that sin. The final R is to return to our position in Christ. You don't have to start back over after you've sinned. You don't have to return to a lower position than when you committed the sin. You return back to where you are in Christ. You return back to the fullness of what God had planned for you. You don't have to keep begging for God to forgive you. You don't have to worry and work your way out of a hole that you dug. God tells you that He has redeemed you from your sin and restored you as a son or a daughter into His royal family. There are so many issues or problems that we're facing in today's society. We have to realize that God has made us to be different. All of the things around us are being shaken right now. The things we took for granted 2 years ago, we aren't able to take for granted today. People are looking for answers. They want to know what's real and what's not. They want to know what they can trust. And guess what? The answer to all of that is Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all of life's issues. What's real? Jesus is real. He shows Himself through all kinds of things. Just like He showed me just through the weight of snow and ice and reminded me of this scripture and how much you can stand on it. Where do I put my trust? Not in my job. Not in my country. Not in my abilities. Not in my bank account. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. We put our trust in Jesus. Let's show the true Jesus to those around us. Shall we pray? Well, Father, we thank You for speaking to us, God. We thank You that You are right here with us. Lord, You, just as we sang this morning, You are right here in this room. Lord, we're sorry for any burden that we've been trying to carry on our own. God, we realize that we cannot do it without You, that there is no way that we can do it on our own. Lord, we thank You for Your promises that You take all of these burdens from us, that You give us Your yoke, that we're able to do the work that You have called us to do, God. Lord, we praise You for Your very name. We praise You for what You are doing, God. We praise You that You are not done with this area. Lord, let revival start in our hearts, God. Lord, help us recognize what You are doing. Help us recognize what You want to tell people, God. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.